as we go about from day to day in our lives, this sister Ashley Tuesday is going for a job interview. Sometimes things don't go as easy as we want it to, whether it's in a job interview, or whether it's taking on a new hobby, turning over a new chapter in our life. Maybe something as simple as getting a new pair of glasses. Sometimes things don't just happen exactly like we think they might. If you take up a hobby and you want to shoot a gun, say, well, I can't see to do a whole lot of that, but I'm not dangerous with one either. But you don't just up and start being able to light a match at 50 yards, say. If you get to where you can do that, it's because you've worked at it. And in the process of getting a new career, an education, sometimes, you know, like I remember back in the college days, it'd be the summertime, and we'd have to be reading Beowulf or something of that nature, and then you look out the dorm window or be in the classroom taking notes and look out the window, and you think, there's people out there throwing frisbees, and it's warm, and I'm having to read 12th century English today. But there comes a day when we do get that job, when we do learn to shoot, when we do learn to play our guitar, or when we get to the end of the job and we've had a good career. Or be that as it may, this is the name of our lesson. It'll be because, yes, we had talent, but there's an underlying denominator. We persevered. Perseverance is a noun, steadfastness in doing something, despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So it's steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Steadfast, unmovable, dogged. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know not that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Some synonyms would be persistence. Not just, well, let me try it. Well, I can't shoot. Just lay it down, go on, try something else, you know. If you shoot a match at, say, is 50 yards a reasonable distance to be able to shoot a match? If you get to where you can do that, it ain't because, well, I tried it and let me quit. It's because you worked at it. You was dogged. You was determined. You were steadfast. Tenacity. Determination. It'd be like from going from the bottom of the hill to the top of one and it muddy and leaves and rain coming down and somebody throwing rocks at you. Well, you think, well, if I go back that way, there's wild animals, and if I go this way, it's just one human with rocks. So you dig in with grit, determination, staying power, indefatigability, purposefulness. It's not like you're floating around like a leaf. And, well, let me try shooting a bow and arrow, and it didn't work, and you just go on. No, you're purposeful, determined, premeditated. Diligence, pains taken. Things are not always easy to get good at something, to be successful at something, to live our lives to where there is a crown of righteousness waiting for us. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. And in the process of that, he'd been beaten many times. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been in dangers of wild animals. In dangers of robbers, of his own countrymen, and the problems with the church. Endless problem. How many would faint at that? I'm not saying I'd be the tenth of the person that Paul was, but I'm just saying we can't give up. We can't give in. We got to be dogged. We got to have acidity. We got to be tireless. Stamina. Obstinate, stick-to-itiveness. Winston Churchill was Prime Minister during World War II. He also became again later, but his legacy as such was during World War II. And he went into office with telling them there'll be killing in the streets, there'll be killing in the fields. He said, I offer you nothing but blood and sweat and tears. But England, along with Allied forces, were victors in this war. And one thing that Churchill would say, and they had some hard times. The kids had to be, a lot of them had to be shipped by train from the cities out into the countries because they were bombing parts of Great Britain. But when you're going through something like that, or if you're going through ill health or depression or things are just not going good, remember this. This is what Churchill said. Never give up. Marianne Redmacher, she said, courage does not always roar. Sometimes courage is that little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. F. Scott Fitzgerald said about perseverance, never confuse a single defeat with a final defeat. You get knocked down, get back up. If you can conceive it and believe it, and if God is on your side, if you get knocked down, you're just being run through the test mill. That's all that is, to see if you're really sincere about it. You get knocked down, and whatever endeavor, you get up and go again. Never lose hopes. Storms make people stronger. And never last forever. The storms, that is, R.T. Benning. Babe Ruth had this to say. And you think about how many home runs he had. And that's back before the days of injections. You know, I mean, you can, you know, my opinion is in baseball, you can really trust his records. And you think about how many times he struck out. Now let's read this. Every strike brings me closer to the next home run. Think about it. You keep on dogged determination, and you're going to win every once in a while. Abraham Lincoln said, always bear in mind that your resolution to succeed is more important than any one thing. You've got to resolve to do it. I'm going to win. If I lose a leg, if I lose an ear, if I lose a job, whatever it is, if I lose face in the community, but I'm still in God's favor, you've got to be dogged. You've got to be determined. When you come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And one more quote from Theodore Roosevelt. Courage is not having the strength to go on. It is going on when you don't have the strength. That's when you peel yourself up, make yourself stand up, and go in spite of what's going on about you, who's talking about you, how bad you feel. If what you're doing is the right thing, and you are dogged about it, you get up and do it anyway, even when you don't have the strength to do it. If you will, turn to Matthew 7 and begin with 7. We're going to look at the virtue of perseverance there. And I'll go ahead and tell you ahead of time, I am not a Greek scholar, but I'll tell you what people that studies Greek said. When we look at ask, seek, and knock, it don't mean just say, Lord, give me health, then you quit asking. Or if you get health and you're seeking, and okay, I found the place, and then when you get there and you knock, and then just say, just do it once. The tense of the Greek is to keep on doing it. To keep on doing it. That's not like we're trying to necessarily beg, or God's standing up there with his lip bent and his arms folded. And I'm going to be stubborn for a while because I want him to just kind of dangle on the end of a chain. There's a reason for it. He may be just waiting to see how serious we are about it. And just saying, Lord, I would like so-and-so, and I'll be able to do this, and then the next day you're on to the next hobby, the next idea, and yesterday's prayer is not even on your mind. So there's a reason for delays. And we don't always understand what those reasons are. But we're to keep on asking. We're to keep on seeking. We're to keep on knocking with doggedness. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Keep on asking. Ask again tomorrow. Lord, I need better health. The day after tomorrow, better health. Three times a day. Lord, please give me better health. And mean it. And have good reasons for the better health. That you may glorify and honor God. Not to climb Mount Everest. Because if you're doing it to glorify God, these other things will be thrown in as presents. So, seek, and you shall find. You've got to keep looking. Knock, once you've found it, and it'll be open. But it might not just be opened up the first time. You may have to go back to that same door or find another door just like it, and you may have to knock today, and you may have to knock tomorrow. But if you need it, you'll get it. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And what man is there of you whom if his... It's going to give the idea of us being sinful people, what we can do good to our families. And he's making the comparison. If you being sinful can do that, how much more will God give you? In other words, we're going to be good to each other. And so since we do that, God is going to be even better to us. So keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If Danson and Greg come in wanting fish and bread, I'm not going to give them a plate of rocks. I might fake them out with it, put ketchup on it. But, I mean, I'd give them the fish and the bread. And so if me, as sorry as I am, if I do something like that, you know God's going to bless them with jobs and health and happiness and joy and peace. Any of us. If he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? No. If he wants a fish, he'll get it. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? God don't sin. Me and you do. We do things for one another. And he's going to do even better. Why do some people succeed in getting their prayers answered? Obviously some don't. Well, did they have a greater understanding of the Bible? Why do some people reach more souls in Christ than others? Is it necessarily skill, genius, or luck? The answer is suggested by Calvin Coolidge. Press on. Nothing in this world can take the place of perseverance. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. One of our presidents said that. You've got to be determined whether you're soul winning, getting your prayers answered. You've got to be dogged. You've got to mean it. You've got to be all in. It just can't be flippant. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, talked about the virtue of perseverance, especially in its relevance to prayer. So, Matthew 7:7, the principle of perseverance. Matthew 7:7-8. Again, ask and it shall be given you. And you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. So we've got to keep on keeping on. Ask, seek, knock. Persistence is particularly relevant in the matter of prayer. Look on down to Matthew 7:11. Again, we read, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven? In the parable of the persistent friend in Luke 11 and beginning with 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And they from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Because he kept knocking. He kept asking. If he just went up there and knocked, can I have some bread? He said, go away, I'm in the bed with my kids, leave. And so if he just left, he wasn't showing his sincerity. But if he kept standing there knocking and saying, look, these people are going to starve. Dad, that won't hurt you. Get up 5 minutes and bring me out some bread and you can go back to your little bed. Because of his importunity, they kept him. Persistence. In the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18 and beginning with 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought always to pray and to not faint. So you pray, and then we faint. No, this is, you know, God don't always just, you know, send back by our mail, well, I'll answer it Thursday at 4 in the afternoon. It's always on his timing. You ever been right in the middle of something? And you ask for something, no telling when. And finally it comes and you think, now? Or if it's some lesson he's teaching you. You know, he loves, he chastises whom he loves. And it'd be something maybe you forgot about. And then right in the middle of something, you're thinking, oh man, this is going bad. And then you remember why, you know why. It's always on, my point is, it's whatever we need is on God's timing. Anyway, Luke 18:2, saying there was in the city a judge, which he didn't fear God, he didn't even regard man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I'm not afraid of God, and I don't regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Continual, because she wanted to be avenged of her adversary. And she just didn't go up there. And he knows she wasn't going to just come and ask once. She went time. He didn't pay God any attention. He didn't regard man. But she went and went and went in dogged determination. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Day and night, day and night. We got to ask and talk to him day and night, over and over and over, and not ever give up if we know that it's the right thing to ask for. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? In the matter of, that was talking about prayer, that section. In the matter of Bible study, sometimes people will give up a little bit too soon. I don't want to open up a can of worms. And let me start off by saying this. I preach out of the King James Version, and I don't want to offend any human being alive with another version. But when I'm off the clock, so to speak, and it's just me and a table and some books, as it were, I'll have the King James out, and I may have two or three other versions that are good, but maybe the Greek text under them may not be up to the 1611 standards. But what I'm saying is, the CEV, for example, that's terrible in places. But it's kind of a double-edged razor. On the other side of the coin, you just have to know when it's right. And it takes you a while to get that feeling. But when that Bible is right, and you think, Eureka, the light has went on. The HCSB, Holman Christian Standard, is an excellent Bible. And right now, the English Standard Version is an excellent Bible to read along with the King James. Now, I'm not saying to debunk the King James. Absolutely not. But, I mean, we can't draw a line in the sand with it because Mexicans don't speak English. So, if they don't use the King James, you know, they're not going to hate you. You get my point. Anyway, we can't give up on our studies. What I'm trying to say is find a way to get in your head. Talk with people. Look at books. Look at dictionaries. Look at encyclopedias. Read articles. Read brotherhood materials. Be dogged in your study. Psalms 1 and beginning with 1. And we don't just do it because, oh, I have to. Let me pull that book out and get me a little old dictionary. I'm so bored to death with all these words, you know. Ben didn't learn to play guitar 15 minutes. It took him a while. That's because he worked at it. Lee is reported to be really good with guns. But you didn't do it in a day. You've done it over the years. Same way with any of us. Stephen with his fishing, or Greg with his. We're not gifted at something just because we worked at it 5 or 10 minutes. We got to do it over and over and over. With Bible reading, we got to do it over and over. And the more you do it, you're going to like it eventually, because when you're really convinced that God really is, and the Word really is literal, I was reading a Gallup poll the other day. Do you realize that 24% of Americans, only 24% of Americans, believe in a literal translation of the Bible? Literal, that it should be done. Literal interpretation. That means there's less than 1 in 4 people thinks you've got to literally take the Bible seriously. Anyway, But when you really do believe that it's to be interpreted literally, and you really are convinced of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and you're not just thinking, well, let me go, it's my tribe, and it's a roll of the dice, it may turn out to be right, and I sure don't want to miss that train. That kind of faith won't cut it. When you're really convinced of God and where you're going to go, if you've touched that blood with your faith in the watery grave of baptism, not because of what somebody said, but because the Bible said in Acts division 2, verse 38, if you get in that water, Romans 6, the old man of sin dies in that water. And what does that boil down to? Did the water wash anything off? No. You submitted to God. He told you to do something, and you done it because He said do it. That's what it boils down to. With that kind of faith in the Bible, you will learn some. You may not, you know, Ezekiel is one of those books that's kind of like, anyway, but some of the others is not quite as hard to understand. Anyway, Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh, we like to fish and hunt and pick a Martin guitar with new strings and a big old pick. And you think for a few minutes, I ain't mad at nobody. But when you pick up that big old leather King James, and there's coffee in the air, and I had a delicious breakfast with the Mower family this morning. When you got coffee and bacon and eggs and your big old leather-bound King James, you think, man, there ain't nothing wrong nowhere. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Big old leather-bound Bible laying out on the coffee table is kind of pretty. But if there's that much dust on top of it, you know, anybody come in the front door and say, yeah, that's a relic. But if you look at, and I'm not looking at anybody's Bibles, but, for example, if you see a Bible with the pages worn and the back beginning to come off, you think, oh, somebody that ain't falling apart. Their Bible may be falling apart, but they ain't. And he shall be, here's the deal. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. If your mind is rooted in the Word of God, you're compared to a tree with its roots by water. That bringeth forth his fruit in due season, his leaf shall not wither. Our spiritual leaves, as such, will wither if our roots ain't in the water. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Psalms 119 and begin with 97. Oh, how I love thy law is my meditation all the day. And we don't just do it because Daddy did it. We do it because Mom and Daddy taught us, and then we became convinced of it. And then we took on the same love that whoever taught us to love it in the beginning with them. So we love it because we love it. Oh, how I love thy law. When you take the Bible and look at it and say, that's boring a sap out of me. That's not the right kind of attitude. Because if you want to be proficient in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes from hearing, hearing the Word of God. That's where your faith comes from. Faith does not come into us via a Wi-Fi. Faith, you know where it talks about the parable of the sower? The sower is God, the seeds are His Word, the soil is our mind, and if that soil is clear and don't have rocks in it, it will produce seeds. Well, where do them seeds come from? The Holy Spirit is penned into the Word of God. So it's not opinion, it is the Word of God. Though through thy commandments hast thou made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. We think about a lot of things on a daily basis, but at the end of the day, when Timmy lays his head down on the pillow and just whispers that little old weak prayer and goes to sleep in the middle of it, that ain't doggy, that ain't determined. You know, 12 o'clock in the day, find you 5 minutes to go read a book, a chapter. your favorite chapter, motivational chapter. Read a chapter in Psalms that when you're at work. Read some Proverbs. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. How do we know where to walk or to go? His will. I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Perseverance. Persistence. Doggedness. Determination. In spite of how good things are going, in spite of how bad things are going. Education, genius, luck, none of that. The widow wanted to be avenged. Knock, 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 knock. Person wanted bread. Knock. Go away, I'm in the bed with my kids. Knock, knock. That's how we got to be with prayer, Bible reading, faith, sticking it out for God. Yeah, we're going to have rainy Mondays. We're going to have blue hair days. Things are not going to go right. But we got to have a purpose. We got to be determined. And we got to think, God's with me. If he ain't with us, as Wilbur said, we better fix it, end quote. You know, you can't hold on to pride. Pride, it won't get you nowhere. But humility, if you've never touched his blood, the Bible says it's in the waters where you touch it. John 3:16 talks about faith. That verse is just as true as Acts 2:38. But what people fail to teach about John 3:16 is where the faith is initially. It's in the gospel. What is the gospel? It's what Jesus did, what God allowed him to do. We couldn't pay for our sins. God let Jesus come do it. He let him come suffer for us. And we have a perfect captain of our salvation, a high priest, that can be touched with our infirmities. So with that being said, he died for us. And Romans 6 talks about the similarity of getting in that grave, letting the old man of sin die, touching the blood, and it's a resurrection. We rise out of that grave. And then, not before, but then, we have the Holy Spirit. We're born of the water and born of the Spirit. If you've not done so, today would be a great day. If you brought shame on the church, let go and let God. Don't hold on to the back of the bench. Just let it go and come on up. We'll pray with you and for you as together as we stand and as we sing.